Today is such a special day. It's a wonderful day, a day that I'm kind of looking forward to. And I'm talking about the events that we have planned for this afternoon specifically with our Learning to Serve program. Learning to Serve is a time where we gather children from all over the community to come here and to study God's Word with us. And we have some wonderful volunteers who come out and participate in this program and who really work with the children and really help them to learn more about God and His Word. Today is the last Learning to Serve for this particular season, and then we'll have our summer break, and then we'll pick up with some new Learning to Serves in the fall. And so today, this afternoon, as part of the Learning to Serve program, we'll have a hamburger cookout, and all of those who have volunteered over the past several months for the Learning to Serve program will come and we'll have a hamburger with the kids that come to the Learning to Serve. And I'm really excited about that. And as I got to contemplate this, I thought, you know, the Bible has some good things to say about children. And specifically, I wanted to think about the relationship of the church and children. And when I say children, I'm not necessarily just talking about the children who are children of members of the church, but just children in general, children in the community, and children that participate in the things that we do here, especially at the New Boston Church of Christ. We've just read from Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. And God had some very specific things that He intended to do when He created a situation on the earth wherein children would come into being from parents. You know, I suppose that God could have made the propagation of man differently. He didn't necessarily have to use children to do that, but He chose to use children because of the blessing that they are to the family. You see, God intended to bless mankind by creating a design that involves children. He describes them here in Psalm 127 as an inheritance or a heritage. He describes them as a blessing and as a reward. And what He tells us at the end of this psalm is that we gain wisdom and knowledge from having and rearing children. That's the point of verse 5. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Then listen to this. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Now this is someone who has a position of importance in the city. Someone who speaks with the enemies at the gate. Someone who has wisdom, you see. And that's what having children gives us, wisdom. And so in thinking about children and thinking about the very good programs that we have for our children here and thinking about children, I would like to think about what characterizes the relationship between the church and children. And so I would like to talk about three things this morning as we think about children and the church. First of all, we want to think about the purpose of the family in having children. And I think that that's something that sometimes we don't really think about in detail. And so we're going to give some time to thinking about that because the church doesn't necessarily have a direct relationship with children. That is, as the parents have a relationship with the children. But nevertheless, the church does have a relationship with children. But so we need to talk about the family and the purpose of the family. But then secondly, we need to talk about the mission of the church in relationship to children. And then finally, we'll talk about the need for the church to be involved in the lives of children. And that's what I would like to think about this morning. As we think about these things, I hope to encourage you to support and be involved in our children's activities with a view toward growth. Because really, when we think about working with children, we're thinking about the future, we're thinking about growth, we're thinking about their good for the present, and we're also thinking about their development. And so let's discuss the relationship of the church to children in an encouraging way this morning. First of all, when we think about the nature of the relationship between the church and children, we need to understand the purpose of the family. I would really like for you to open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2 and verses 10 through 16. So please do that, because we're going to be spending some time in this passage as we think about the purpose of the family. Malachi chapter 2 and verses 10 through 16. So if you have your Bibles with you, open to Malachi chapter 2 and verses 10 through 16. Malachi 2, verses 10 through 16. Now, in the context of Malachi chapter 2, Malachi is rebuking the people of Israel because of some of their failures. And they are trying to worship God, but their worship is hypocritical because of some of their personal practices. And one of the things that they're doing in Malachi's time is that they are divorcing their wives and they are taking foreign wives. And in taking these foreign wives, they are then allowing idolatry to enter into their homes. And Malachi deals with this issue right here in chapter 2, verses 10 and following. Let's read together Malachi 2, verses 10 through 16. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. So look what Malachi is saying. He's identifying the problem. Judah is guilty because they are tolerating this. They are putting up with this. But it's specific instances of men who have married foreign women. And these foreign women are dedicated to strange gods, to other gods, other than the one true and living God, the one Father who created us all. Verse 10. Now notice he says, the man who does this, that is, who marries this foreign wife, divorces the wife of his youth, as we're going to see in a moment, and marries this foreign wife, the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. That is, he's on one hand, he is marrying this foreign wife and bringing idols into his house, and on the other hand, he's offering offerings to the one true God. And he's saying that that's hypocrisy. Oh, verse 13. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so that he, that is the Lord, does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Now, where are the tears and the weeping and the crying coming from? It's coming from these wives who have been divorced, who are now fleeing to the altar of God and begging God for relief. Verse 14, yet you say, for what reason? Now here's the reason. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. In other words, what God is saying is that you should not have divorced the wife of your youth to go off and marry these foreign wives. And now he's going to say something about marriage and what the purpose of marriage was to begin with. Now, so look at verse 15. But did he, that is God, not make them, that is husband and wife, one? Did he not make them one? You may say, oh yes, that's right. I remember back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, where it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Yes, God did make them one. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? That is, why did God make husband and wife one? And throughout all the Bible, you'll never find this question asked in any other place as to why God made husband and wife one. Why did he do that? Look at the answer. He seeks godly offspring. He seeks godly offspring. What is that? That is children. And not just any children, not just procreation for the sake of procreation, but godly offspring. You see, what God wants, the reason He made husband and wife to be one and put them together in marriage, was that so that they could raise up godly children. Children who would seek after Him. Children who would be instructed in the ways of the Lord. Children who would know His word and His will. That's what marriage is about. That's the purpose of marriage, if you will. That there might be godly offspring. Now, I know what you're saying in your mind. You're saying, well, that doesn't happen very much in our world today. And you're right. It doesn't. And that's why we're talking about children and the church. But I want you to think about this for a moment. For children to be godly, they need to be raised by godly parents. And God certainly desired this from Israel. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 through 9, you're going to see quite clearly that God is concerned about raising children in a right way. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so God wanted these children to be taught His word. And the Holy Spirit certainly desires that children be taught His word today. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. And verses 1 through 4. Children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So yes, God wants children, and He wants them to be godly. He wants them to be raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. He wants them to be taught His word, Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 9. And this is the purpose that God put Adam and Eve together, that God made husband and wife one, that there might be godly offspring. Now, what happens if families do not fulfill this mission? And you know that happens. Because of sin, because of problems within our lives, because of selfishness and other things, oftentimes families simply do not fulfill this mission. And so we do the best we can, but we often fail. And sin gets in the way even in the best of circumstances. And those who are lost in sin certainly don't really care about rearing godly children. Most of the time, they're just concerned about giving them the basics and getting them out of the way. So this means that God's purposes in the family, especially in a sin-filled world, are not fulfilled. So this brings us to our second point, which is the mission of the church in relationship to children. Now, God's purpose for the church is the unity of all in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 14 through 18, we read these words. For He Himself, that is Christ, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And so, God wants unity. He wants fellow men to be united with one another. He wants all of us to get along, to be at unity. And He wants us to be at unity with Him as well. And this is the purpose of church, to provide that environment where we can be at one with God and where we can be at one with our fellow man. And this is the point of the church. And that's what Paul says here in verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's what we are, a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's what God wants. He wants to dwell with His people, and He wants His people to dwell with one another and with Him. And so how does the church accomplish this purpose? By seeking and saving the lost. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." And so we fulfill the purpose of the church by practicing the mission of the church and going out and evangelizing and teaching the lost so that they can come and be at one with God and at one with one another. But the problem, again, when we think about the world and everything in it, is that sin thwarts God's purposes. And sin begins in the hearts of us at a very young age. In fact, in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21, we read this: "And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the earth or curse the ground for man's sake. Although,'" now listen to this, "'although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done.'" And so part of the Great Commission then is to preach the gospel to youth. Preach the gospel to youth. Now there are some young who are so young so as they have never committed a sin. And certainly we're not asking them to repent of sins. But we are teaching them so that when the time comes that they realize that they have committed sin within their life, that they will be ready and they will know what to do. And so youth are a big part of the Great Commission. And the mission of the church is to seek and to save the lost. And inasmuch as man's heart is evil from his youth, our job is to reach out to the youth. And so this means, point number three, that the church must be involved in the lives of children. And that is certainly something that Jesus was involved in and something that we need to be involved in as well. Turn over, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verses 13 through 16. The disciples at one point thought, you know what, we need to get all these pesky children away from Jesus. And Jesus countered that. He said, no, that's not the case at all. Verse 13, Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. "Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" Now look at verse 16. "And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them." Now Jesus received children. He loved children. He wanted children in his life, and he realized the blessing that they are. And so remember who Jesus is. He is the head of the church. And as the head of the church, he gives us our direction, and he gives us our instruction, and he gives us our example. And so in receiving children and teaching them and blessing them, he gives us an example as well. That we need to receive them, that we need to teach them, and that we need to bless them also. Now think back to what the purpose of the family is: to raise godly seed. And oftentimes that doesn't get done. And so where can children come in order to learn godliness that they need within their life, that God wants them to have within their life? They can come to the church. And so the church then must be involved in the lives of children, inasmuch as the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And so while it is the parents' duty to raise godly seed, the church becomes a resource for those parents in their mission to bring up those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to fulfill their purpose. And the church then, as pillar and ground of the truth, provides all the information that parents need in order for children to be godly. And that, of course, comes from God's Word, in studying God's Word, and providing for those admonitions that are within God's Word. And children also need to understand these things, especially the older children. They need to understand that God intends for them to be godly. He wants them to be godly, and that He desires that they seek Him while they are yet young. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, we read, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them." Yes, we are to remember God when we're young. We are to give ourselves to Him. We are to recognize the purpose of the family and cooperate in that purpose so that we can be those godly children that we need to be. We're also to recognize the mission of the church to seek and to save that which is lost, and realize that there are many children out there who have gone astray from their youth who need the gospel and who need to hear the message of God. And there are also children who are innocent, who need to prepare for that time within their life when they will mature to the point that they realize they need the gospel. And so the church is to be involved in the life of children. And I'm so thankful that this congregation is very involved in the life of children, and that there is a great purpose here to work with children and to encourage them, to teach them God's Word, and to help them grow so that when they grow up, they can have the opportunity to become what God wants them to be. So what characterizes the nature of the relationship between the church and children? First of all, God wants children to be godly. Second, God wants children to be united with Him in His body. And third, God wants the church to receive and to teach children. And I'm so glad that this congregation does a wonderful job of being involved in the life of children. This morning we want to ask a question. Have you fulfilled God's purposes in your life in being godly offspring? You see, we're all offspring of one kind or another from our parents. And God's desire all along has been that we be godly. But perhaps this morning there's some here who realize that they haven't lived godly lives and that needs to change today. Perhaps there's one in the assembly this hour who's a Christian but has done some ungodly things and needs the prayers of the church to restore them to what God wants them to be. This morning that opportunity is available for you to come and to ask for the prayers of the congregation, and we will pray with you and for you. Perhaps there is one in the assembly this morning who is not a Christian, and after hearing these things realizes that the Bible has a wonderful message for families, it has a wonderful message of unity of all people, and it has a wonderful message for children, and that's really something that appeals to you, and you really want to know more about that, and you really want to give your life to Christ and to God this hour. You can do that by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Become a child of God this hour and be part of that heavenly family whereby you can be called a child of God. Whatever your need is today, we invite you to come while we sing this song of encouragement.